Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are coming to you live from where it goes down tonight, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a Falcons game day on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9. The game, your boys throwing a midday party, and it's high noon, y'all. We are 8.5 hours from a Falcons victory against the New Orleans Saints tonight. Huge rivalry game. And, you know, Jay Feely does a great job covering the NFL as a kicking and overall analyst for CBS, and he joins us now on the WadeFor.com hotline. Jay, good afternoon. How you doing? Oh, we don't have Jay Feely just yet, but we will. And I certainly want to ask him about the ageless Matt Bryant.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want something to have your kids do at a young age that a lot of people don't want to do early on until they realize, wait a second, I can make a lot of money and play in this league for a long time, teach them how to kick and punt. Literally, if your kid's got any athletic ability and can kick it, and I'm not – Matt Bryant, what he does is absolutely amazing. You're making 50-yard field goals at 40 years old, but longevity in that, as long as you don't go Roberto Aguayo and completely lose your mind within a year of the league, you make some kicks in this league, you'll end up kicking for a long time.
It's crazy how kickers ebb and flow from year to year. Mm-hmm. When you think of Blair Walsh, who a few years ago with Minnesota, I think had 10 50-plus-yard yep. field goals, the most in NFL history, and now he is a mental basket case. And you've got a guy like Greg Zuerlein with the Rams. Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg, you know, Legatron. He's got all these nicknames because he can.
Legatron.
Yeah, they call him. It's great, right?
That is awesome.
I know, Legatron's pretty dope. But he has had ups and downs. And this year, John, he is spanking every ball right down the middle. It could be from 63, 47, 55. It doesn't matter. But even Zuerlein has had struggles and had years where his percentages were in the 70s. So there are very, very few guys, Matt Bryant being one of them, that are 80-plus, 90% guys every single year. Justin Tucker would be another one of those guys.
And that's one of the places where the Falcons, for the last 4 or 5 years with Matt Bryant, have had an advantage over a lot of people. You know that 50 in, it was basically guaranteed, and probably out to about 55, 56, Matt could bang them through. Missed the one a week ago. It wouldn't have mattered. The Falcons didn't get the stop.
It was karma.
Yeah.
The football gods were like, we got to show Dan Quinn that he's messing this up. I'm telling you right now, I believe in the football gods. I believe in cryptic ways of the universe. And ball don't lie.
Do you believe
Rasheed
in the
Wallace
heater
always
gods?
Said it. Ball don't lie.
Do you believe in the heater gods?
There's none out here.
I would like to encourage the heater gods to send a little bit more heat. It is cold everywhere, though, man. And by the way, thanks for taking me to a weather tip. I ain't buying the snow in Atlanta thing tomorrow until I see snowflakes. If I had a dollar for every time I heard, you know, Southerners kind of, you know, prepare for and maybe complain about snow coming the next day, most of the time you do not see a single flake. I'm just saying. And I love y'all Southerners, but – but I'm not buying it until I see it.
So apparently there's an update on Jay. Jay will join us at 12:20.
Okay, well, that's fine. So you know what we'll do here to kind of switch gears, and it's sponsored, so we want to make sure we take care of them. We'll do the NFL Bounce brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Sorento today. The good thing is your Sorento has heated seats, so when you get outside, you can have a nice warm butt when you sit on the chair.
I can't.
Bounce. We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, John, bad news for the Falcons, good news for the Saints. It looks like Mark Ingram is going to be able to play. Mm-hmm. He has not practiced. He didn't practice Tuesday or Wednesday. And so that left his availability for the game in some question. Adam Schefter reporting this morning that he's expected to play. John, and so look, if you're not practicing, you have an injury or you're at least hurt.
Right.
There is something wrong with you. So there's that we may get a less than 100% Mark Ingram, but you know who he is. He's a baller. Mark Ingram is a guy that loves to play the game. He's not one of these Alabama running backs that left his best ball at T-Town and has come to the NFL just to steal some money. He is a stud. I'm a big Mark Ingram fan, and I must mention, in my big money league, we're in a playoff game tonight. I got Mark Ingram, and so I hope the Falcons, you know, win you know, 35-27 and can I get my guy Inge in the end zone a couple of times?
Yeah, I can't cheer for anybody on the Saints tonight, whether they're on my fantasy team or not. I could care less if they score a single point. Here's what I will say about the Mark Ingram situation. I'd rather have him on the field than Alvin Kamara. The more times that Mark Ingram touches the ball is the less times that Alvin Kamara touches the ball. That's a win for the Falcons. What this points to, though, is a banged-up Mark Ingram potentially not playing as much as he may have. Here's something that may get under the skin of some of the owners around the NFL. Roger Goodell, at least according to sources, has signed a 5-year contract extension to remain the commissioner of the NFL. Adam Schefter said the new deal is going to be worth $200 million over the life of the contract. He's making about $40 million annually if owners approve all the bonuses and the incentives are met. The new deal runs through the 2023 season. Apparently, the base salary of the new contract is in the single-digit millions. God forbid, that's all he's going to get. And about 85% of the total compensation comes from bonuses, which would be subject to ownership approval.
Oh, so in other words, the money that is made is then divvied out to Roger Goodell. So if we hit this benchmark in terms of revenue, then you get this. And if you hit this benchmark in terms of revenue, then you're bumped up to this. And I like Roger Goodell's chances, based on the financial success of the Shield, to kill it with this contract. It's not like he's some old cat with an incentive-laden contract with, like, you know, some 38-year-old running back that needs to get to 1,500 yards to get an incentive. That's not what we're talking about here. These are probably very attainable incentives for him.
So what you're telling me is Master P did not do the contract like he did with Ricky Williams? Where he was like, you will make $1, and for every time you carry the ball, you will get $4 extra. And every time you put on a wedding dress on the front of a photo, you will get $6 extra. No, that's not Roger Goodell's deal. One guy's very happy about it. He's our own owner, Arthur Blank. He talked to the Monday Morning Quarterback. He said he was relieved that Goodell signed the deal. He said this, quote, I'm happy it's over. I was just telling Roger, in the history of the NFL, I'm not sure a decision this big has been so transparent as this one. We got a lot of input from a lot of owners, a lot of guidance from them, and we feel very good about what developed out of that.
Oh, so that's what he's describing Jerry Jones' involvement this as. Okay. What was that word you just said?
Which one? Transparent?
No, the
relieved.
Input and
yeah, we relieved a lot of input
guidance.
And guidance.
Guidance, yeah, that's what Jerry Jones was providing. Guidance. And a little bit of hating. A little bit of hating as well. So actually the scoreboard reads, John, Roger Goodell and Arthur Blank won and Jerry Jones nothing.
Jerry's still got about $20 billion in the bank. So
he's winning.
I think taking that loss, he's okay with.
Yeah, but he didn't win this one.
Oh, no, he did not. And Arthur Blank did, and a lot of the other owners did. The most interesting scenario that plays out now in the Roger Goodell will be the next collective bargaining agreement. Did you see what Mike Mitchell had to say yesterday? The video that surfaced with Mike Mitchell?
Defensive back of the Steelers,
right? Steelers.
He is very outspoken.
And he was heated about the way that the game is being played. He basically said, you know what, I signed up to play contact, full contact football. He goes, if they're going to keep going the direction we're going, why don't we just stick flags on and we can play flag football at this point?
I understand it, and he's ticked off that Juju Smith-Schuster won't be able to play, who essentially got suspended for taunting.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. Juju Smith-Schuster should not have been suspended for that. I can understand a fine, John. But I wouldn't have even fined him. I had no problem with what Juju Smith-Schuster did. And you think about it. If there was no history between the Steelers and Bengals in terms of cheap shots and injuries and missed games and all this kind of stuff, then you're like, all right, you're taunting. You shouldn't be taunting. With all of the bad blood and all of the – you have Vontaze Burfict ripping down Le'Veon Bell and ruining him. Okay, we were worried if Le'Veon Bell would ever be the same again. He got like wishbone, like what you do like with the wishbone. You pull it apart and you snap it, and then hopefully I get the bigger side than you.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell reward you get for having the bigger side of the wishbone.
You just have more bone.
You get what I'm saying. And then you got Vontaze Burfict crushing Antonio Brown and costing him a playoff game, which I believe they lost, and it knocked him out of the playoffs, if memory serves on that chronology. So I had no problem with it. But that's where this comes from Mike Mitchell. He's tired of his guys being suspended and punished.
Well, and I think a lot of the players, and this goes back to Roger Goodell, are tired of the inconsistency. You don't know what you're getting suspended for. Mike Mitchell, if you haven't seen the video, look up on Twitter or any of the social media sites. He goes on about a 1.5-minute rant to a bunch of reporters in the Pittsburgh locker room about this. He talks about inconsistencies. He talks about, you know, guys being safe and getting hit and getting hurt and all of this other stuff. It's a very, very interesting listen.
So, John, we're continuing our NFL bounce here, brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Next, we'll have Jay Feely football analyst for CBS, of course. And let's talk about what Jordy Nelson said about his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. He said he looks like himself again. And whereas initially they said Aaron Rodgers probably isn't going to come back and play this season, Green Bay has done a good job of stabilizing. They're at 500. They're probably not going to make the playoffs, but their heart is still beating. And it looks like this will be the last week without Aaron Rodgers. It'll be Hundley and the Packers at Cleveland, a very winnable game. And then next week they presumably will get, and that's been the plan and the reported plan, is they get Aaron Rodgers back next week. I guess he's with the scout team right now. But Jordy Nelson said he looks like he's back to himself. I've heard players dap up teammates before, and it hasn't bared out on the field.
Right.
But this is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about.
Yeah, for them, again, you want another reason why the Falcons have to win tonight. Green Bay, and I know we have a tiebreaker and a game in hand right now, but if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you know the magic he can provide for that team. Now, I said earlier in the year, I'd love to play him here again in the playoffs. Right now, I just want to make the playoffs, and I think that'll be the best thing going. Here's something that, you know, not good news coming out of the Pacific Northwest. Warren Moon, who's been on our station a bunch, Hall of Fame quarterback, has been accused now of sexual harassment and sexual battery in a lawsuit filed by a female employee of his sports marketing firm. He's going to take a leave of absence from his role on the Seahawks radio broadcast. The lawsuit was filed Monday in an Orange County Superior Court. Basically said Moon made unwanted and unsolicited sexual advances towards her while she was working for Sports One Marketing. There's some other salacious details, to say the least. Basically saying all business trips provided by him, unfettered access to every bathroom every time she showered, while she was wearing skimpy lingerie, while in the obligatory single room, obtaining prior approval for her wardrobe, and being subjected to continuous unwanted and unsolicited sexual advances. On another business trip to Seattle, she said Moon grabbed her in the crotch area while she was sleeping. After rejecting one of Moon's alleged sexual advances, she wrote in an email that the following day she wasn't comfortable with his demands. He would find somebody else who doesn't have inhibitions about the job.
Unbelievable. Look, John, Warren Moon, I've heard him interviewed. I've never met the man. Seems like a good guy. And that's what's scary about this. Matt Lauer seemed like, you know, whatever he was, you know, a little stuffy and pretentious, but like one of the most respected journalists in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he's a creep. All right, Cosby. Who didn't grow up watching Cosby?
Right.
We all did.
They were the all-American family.
Everybody watched Cosby. Everybody loved Cosby. Now it turns out, I guess allegedly, I need to say that, you know, he's a creep or whatever. But, John, who else? That's where I'm at with this. Every day we find out Louis C.K.
Right.
The Franken guy that was on Saturday Night Live all these years, politician in Minnesota. Like, every single day it seems like somebody else – it either comes forward with an admission of it, or is put on blast by a victim or an alleged victim. It's unbelievable. And these are people that we have put on a pedestal. These are people that we have loved and cherished.
Right.
And so I'm like, who's next?
Well, some of them that go back in time, again, it's a his word against their word, and I'm not taking one side or the other. For the Warren Moon scenario, apparently this was something fairly recent. Like in the last few months or within the last year, that's the point where you look at Warren Moon and you go, man, if any of that happens to be true, you really got to make better decisions, because we deal with a lot of women in our industry, work with us, and I'm as friendly as can be, whether it's Laura Oakman, Aaron Andrews, I'll sit and talk to her on the side. They're always super professional, super nice. We talk about sports, and that's in. They'll ask about family and whatnot. But you got to be careful from the man side or the woman side on this scenario. Today's day and age, it is heightened. You can't do anything that's really unwarranted or unwanted. And I will say this, I'm very happy to be married anyway. This is another reason why I don't have to deal with anybody on that level. I know who I'm going to home to, and I'm really happy to be going home to that person.
John, it's amazing to me. Just one more little football take here. John Ross, first-round rookie to the Cincinnati Bengals, shut down for the year with an injury. Mike Williams, rookie bust. Corey Davis, rookie bust. It's unbelievable. Like, these were can't miss guys, and all three of them I'm not calling a bust for their career, but as a rookie, all three of them bust.
Yeah, I think combined they had about 30 catches, and most of those come from Corey
Davis. Did not
see
that coming.
More than anybody else. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will talk to Jay Feely. He works for the NFL Network, and he's going to be on the sidelines. It'll be the Cardinals game this upcoming weekend. That's all coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
It's always tough playing New Orleans. They're very well coached. They're playing great this year. Obviously, their record proves that. You know these games are going to come down to, you know, the end of the game, last possession. Most of the times, at least throughout my career, it's been that way. And, you know, we'll be prepared. I'm sure the Dome, you know, the Benz will be rocking on Thursday night, so we're looking forward to that. But, you know, it's always exciting to play your teams in the division, especially New Orleans, and it'll be a good matchup on Thursday.
Matty Ice, QB of our beloved Atlanta Falcons, and isn't the NFL weird? Who thought the Rams, Vikings, Eagles, and Saints would be atop the NFC with a month to go? Raise your hand if you called that. And if you called that, I don't believe you, okay? And if you actually thought that before the season, you needed to hop on a plane to Vegas, belly up to a window, and put some juice boxes on the line. But that's where we're at, John.
Yep.
None of us thought that the New Orleans Saints would be a double-digit win team. None of us.
Nope.
Okay, we thought 7-9, maybe 8-8. They're dangerous because they got Breeze and they got a great coach in Sean Payton. But for them to be as good and as balanced that they have been on both sides of the football, I just didn't see it coming.
Hey, don't forget, guys, you can hang out tonight with Andy Bunker from 8:30 to 10:30 at Buffalo Wild Wings at the Mall of Georgia location. It's our 92.9 The Game Atlanta Football Watch Party. Get your friends in the huddle for a night out with delicious wings, cold beer, prize giveaways, and watch Atlanta take on New Orleans. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. I will give credit where it's due. Randy Mack picked the L.A. Rams to win the division pre-year. Now, part of that, he played for the Rams, you get that, but that was the one that he went out on the limb with. I had Green Bay, I had Atlanta, I think I had the Giants, and I had Arizona. So not really good in my NFL predictions over on that side of things.
But it's don't beat yourself up. None of us were and none of us are. It's just such an unpredictable entity. But, John, I mean, the Philly thing, I'm watching Sunday Night Football, huge game, Eagles and Seahawks, and I'm like, I'm not that surprised that Philly is near the top. Now, I thought that, you know, they were my little team that could, and I thought their offense was going to be fantastic, but I didn't see the defense and special teams on all this coming to such a boil, John, where they're at the top. I thought they'd be a playoff team, mm-hmm. You know, a wild card team. I didn't see them running away with the NFC East, but certainly you could see the pieces in place for a big-time offense for the Eagles.
Yeah, and they're a team that's getting better as the year goes along. Defensively, they are fantastic, and that's what's rock solid about Philadelphia. And, again, that's what makes tonight so important for the Falcons. There are teams that have distanced themselves, and I know we've tried to make parallels. Last year you were 7-5. This year you were 7-5. The difference was last year at 7-5, the only team that was ahead of you really running away with everything was the Dallas Cowboys. You were tied for the division lead at 7-5 a year ago with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then Tampa went right off the edge of the mountain, and they were finished for the year. You went on a 4-game winning streak and won the division. You got a loss from the Seattle Seahawks. I think they lost to Arizona in week 16, and that allowed you to go to the number 2 seed. This year, you're not, by virtue of losing to Minnesota, you would need the Vikings and the Eagles to lose out, basically, to be one of the top 2 seeds, and you would have to win out. So your easiest path to the playoffs right now is beating your division foes, wrapping up the season 5-1 in division, 4-0 to finish the year and go 11-5. Outside of that, you need help from somebody.
We are efforting Jay Feely, analyst for CBS Sports. And for New Orleans, we talk about the importance for the Falcons, and it's obvious. We're 7-5. We're looking up at all these teams, Carolina, Seattle, New Orleans, the Rams, the Eagles, and the Vikings. And by the way, the math works out. That's too many teams to be looking up at. Mm-hmm. But, John, for the New Orleans Saints, they're 9-3. And right now they are just behind the L.A. Rams because the Rams beat them a couple of weeks ago. But you got Minnesota and Philly at 10-2. You've got the Rams and the Saints at 9-3. The reason I'm going through this is a monstrous game for the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. The Saints do not want to go to Philadelphia for a playoff game. They want playoff games in the Superdome down
there. Superdome
in New Orleans. So let's go to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in Jay Feely right now. Jay, good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday Show with Rick and John here in Atlanta from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I appreciate it. You guys enjoying the stadium down there?
Yeah, we're loving it, man. It's unbelievable. We just need it to be louder and noisier tonight and perhaps, bother and hinder Drew Brees and his offense a little bit. Jay, I want to ask you a question about Dan Quinn's decision-making in the fourth quarter. Under 5 minutes to go, you're down five. Matt Bryant is obviously automatic, but you bring him out there for a field goal that would have only made it a two-point game. John and I have been harping on it all week. We thought that was a bad move by Dan Quinn. We thought he should have gone for the first down and gone for ultimately the touchdown in that scenario. But you're a kicker. How did you view that?
Well, I'm also an analyst, so and I always lean towards going for it. Whenever you look at the analytics and you break down whether or not in the fourth quarter you cut it to a one-score game with the field goal, cut it to 2 points or go for it and touchdowns, analytics almost always favors going for it. I like to be more aggressive. I would be as a play caller as well. It's your job, though, as a kicker to step in those clutch moments and to make those kicks. And you're right. Matt Bryant has done a phenomenal job in his entire career there in Atlanta. And he's had a good year, and he stepped in. He didn't make that kick. So as a head coach, you look back, and you wish you had another do-over on that decision. You wish you could go back and do it. But I would trust my quarterback and trust Matt Ryan and keep the ball in his hand and be aggressive. You're sitting at this position. You have very little room to err sitting out at 7-5. You had to win that game, and I would trust my quarterback to get it done for me.
JR coach Dan Quinn kind of called out fans here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, said he needs them louder tonight. As a former player, when you're on the field or you play in a place like Seattle, do you guys feel that as the opposition when the opposing crowd really is into it and really loud?
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily feel it in regard to the way it impacts your play. What it does impact, and you guys touched on it with Drew Brees, is that communication. The ability of the offense to communicate, to make those checks, to understand what you're trying to do, false starts, all those types of things that can disrupt the rhythm of an offense and not allow them to be comfortable. That's what you want. When you're in a dome, Seattle is amazing because it's outdoors. And down in New Orleans, in Arizona, in those dome situations, those are the stadiums where you can have a big impact. There's no question that crowd in Atlanta tonight can have an impact on Drew Brees and that offense and try and keep Drew from being able to make all the checks and the communication that he wants to do.
CBS Sports football analyst Jay Feely joining the Midday Show with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Jay, John and I don't like how the New Orleans running game, really the strength of their offense right now, matches up with the Falcons' ability to stop the run, which is a relative weakness for that defense based on all the other good stuff that they do. How do you see that going, the New Orleans running game against the Falcons' ability to stop it?
Well, I'll be a little bit more blunt than you guys. They've been terrible against the run all year. Atlanta has defensively. They're undersized, and it's a defense that's built on speed and predicated to running the ball. On third down, opposing running backs are almost 70% converting first downs when they run the ball. That's just terrible. And you look at New Orleans, they got Ingram, they got Kamara. They're averaging 5.3 yards a carry. That's a mismatch. That's not a good matchup for Atlanta. They're going to have to find a way to stop the run. And what New Orleans has done so well this year, in the past, they've had Drew Brees. They've been aggressive. They've thrown the ball, but they have balance this year. The ability to run the ball, the ability to have balance, to go play action, and to keep a defense uncomfortable, not able to pin their ears back and get after Drew Brees, that's made this team and this offense so effective. It's a bad mismatch for Atlanta and their defense.
Jay Feely, you'll be on the sideline. Cardinals and Titans Sunday at 4:05 on CBS. When you look back at this game, over the years, Drew Brees has been an absolute thorn in the side of the Falcons. He's basically averaged well over 300 yards. Matter of fact, the statistical matchup of him and Matt Ryan, the highest average per game yardage between two quarterbacks with 10 games, one of those crazy stats. The Falcons, though, almost today, just kind of hearing what you're saying, would rather Drew Brees throw the ball than allow the Saints to sit there and run it at that 5 yards per carry average.
Yeah, I think if you can make New Orleans one-dimensional, if you can take away the running game and make them throw the ball, you got to try and create some turnovers. You got to get after Drew Brees and get pressure on him. But if you can take away the running game and you can make them one-dimensional, then you have the ability to try to beat them. You know, and Atlanta sitting at 7-5, you got 2-8-4 teams in front of you that are in second place in their respective divisions, Carolina in front of you and Seattle. You have no room for error. You have to win out to have an opportunity to try to get in to these playoffs. You play New Orleans twice. You play Carolina at the end of the year. There's very little room for error for this team that was in the Super Bowl last year, and as Atlanta knows, was so close to winning that game.
Yeah, and Jay, we've been harping on it, man. It's a death game tonight. It's an elimination game. It's a regular season playoff game. A must win. All of those cliches are in play. So, Jay, based on the tone of this conversation, and I'm not disagreeing with anything that you said, and we appreciate the honesty, it doesn't sound like you're picking the Falcons tonight. Who are you going with?
Well, you know, I mean, my heart, I played in Atlanta, so I started my career. I got a lot of friends that are still there within that organization. I'm rooting for Atlanta, but I think it's a tough matchup. New Orleans has played so well all year. Drew Brees has played phenomenal football, especially at his age, continuing to defy Father Time, you know, just like Tom Brady up there in New England. And because they have that running game, that two-headed attack with Ingram and Kamara, that's tough, and it makes it tough. And you're right. This is a game they have to win. Atlanta has to win this game to keep them in the playoff hunt. You know, you look at the teams that are ahead of them and who has the ability. Seattle and Carolina are the two teams ahead of them, right? Carolina's got Minnesota,
yes.
Green Bay, Tampa, and then Atlanta. So two tough games, two very winnable games. Seattle sitting there 8-4 as well. They play at Jacksonville this week. Then they play the Rams, two tough games. And it's Dallas and Arizona, two winnable games. So very little room for error. Have to win this game tonight. And to me, to have an opportunity to win this game, they have to get a couple of turnovers and limit those turnovers on offense.
Jay, really good stuff. Appreciate you stopping by and hanging out with us here in Atlanta. We'll be watching you on Sunday on CBS. Cardinals-Titans, you'll be down there on the sideline. Thanks for the time today.
Nah, my pleasure. Good luck tonight.
Thanks. All right, thanks, Jay.
Jay Feely on the WadeFord.com hotline. We come back. We do a little From the Bible with the Preacher Man, who is ice cold. It's an icy Preacher Man right now.
It's freezing again. Ronda Rousey may have a new job. Geno Smith is not happy. And there's a Johnny Manziel sighting. That's all coming.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It is From the Bible time, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's a Falcons game day. We're counting down to Falcons and Saints. John Michaels will be on the field tonight. Wes Durham, Dave Archer up in the booth with the call, the Falcons Radio Network. Conti and McMichael will have the pregame for you at about 6:30, and then the game at 8:30 here from the Benz. All right, Preacher Man, hit us, man.
All right, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. All right, like I said earlier, Ronda Rousey may be back and fully employed. Apparently, she and the WWE are looking to finalize a deal. Rousey has made several appearances at WWE events over the years, but has never competed before. She has even trained with WWE superstars in the past. No details available at this time about what the 30-year-old's role would be. It is not known if she become a full-time member of the roster or part-time.
Most likely part-time, and you know why they're doing that. You know what's coming up really soon at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down in New Orleans? WrestleMania. Guys like Grant McCauley and Mark Owens in the back, they're all excited to go to WrestleMania. Mark, would you like the fact of Ronda Rousey coming in, even just because the women's division is fantastic now in the WWE, just to do a one-off or like, you know, maybe once every two or three pay-per-views?
Yeah, why not? Because she's one of those bringing the celebrity wing of WWE, and you expect that at WrestleMania. I mean, they'll spend the money. How they had Floyd Mayweather box the Big Show at WrestleMania. So this is not unexpected, and I'm amazed it actually took this long to get her in the WWE.
Hey, Preacher Man, do you remember the prediction I made for Ronda Rousey when she got her face caved in by Holly Holm?
That she'd never fight in the UCW again, or UCF again?
UFC?
Whatever. And it's cold in here, man. I can't think.
Yeah, and what did I say her next gig would be?
WWE.
Yep. I called this. John, when I heard her and just all of the demons she was fighting and the soul-searching she was doing after losing that fight, I'm like, this lady does not want to get hit in the face ever again in her life. And so why not go to wrestling where you choreograph the whole thing? So this is a no-brainer. I saw this one coming.
Well, she's also appeared at WrestleMania a couple of years ago. She came out of
got
into the face of Stephanie McMahon. It was her. I believe it was her and The Rock.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. So the storyline's already there. She still has a huge name. People know all about Ronda Rousey. And WWE fans don't care if you get knocked out in the UFC. They just want to cheer for you.
Hot or sports hot? Or neither.
Sports hot.
See, I'm neither. Hot or sports hot?
I'm neither.
Yeah, I'm neither on Rousey. Hey, M.O., Ronda Rousey, hot, sports hot, or neither?
Sports hot.
Yeah, she's sports hot. In Entourage, I was like, yeah, go for it, Turtle. go ahead.
That's a come up for Turtle,
Turtle
isn't
had
it?
Any action the whole series. I mean, come on now.
No, he had what was the really good-looking spit? Daniel Ramirez. Go look up Dania Ramirez. Remember her?
Well, you want to talk about unrealistic scenes in a movie or TV show, huh?
Turtle. Well, dude, Turtle was a millionaire now. He came up with Avion Vodka.
That's right.
So, yeah, the Turtle's the man. That's how he found it, was Dania Ramirez.
Well, it's like, remember, because the joke was, is this Vince's house? No, it's Turtle's
house.
It's Turtle's house. How much bleeping money does this guy make?
Yeah. Why can't one of you guys come up with a vodka or something? Come on, Rick.
Isn't Clooney a billionaire off his tequila?
Yeah, he and Cindy Crawford's husband, they sold their what's the name of their tequila product? I can't remember. But, yeah, they sold it for $1 billion.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to get a potato, an onion, and a green pepper, and I'm going in the bathtub today to see what I can find out.
I'm going to get an agave plant, John. One of those big agave plants and a machete. I think you need a machete to cut the agave.
I'll be honest. I'm just going to walk next door, find some concrete and maybe some bushes from across the street here on Northside Drive. I think I'd come up with a drink out of that.
Sure you can.
It's called death. What else we got, Preacher? Or meth in some cases.
All right, well, apparently Geno Smith is not happy about being benched after 1 week.
Be a better quarterback.
He told Ralph Facchio of SNY, "I wasn't happy. Any competitor wouldn't be. To be put in that situation where you get a chance to play and then you get pulled, but it's not because you played bad, so you try to figure out why, but you've got to understand that some things happen in this business and you've just got to roll with it."
Yeah, some things happen, meaning you're not a very good quarterback, and that's why you got benched. And you should have never been starting because they had an idiot head coach there, and that's why you were starting. I hope Geno Smith can one day become a good quarterback. But what's he been in the league now? 4 or 5 years? Tigers don't typically change their stripes to go from mediocre to pretty good.
I had to give you silent analysis on Geno Smith.
I was wondering what was going on here.
I'm Shaq. I've invaded the body of my boy Cam LaJuice. And I had to come here and give silent analysis.
Yeah, when you were giving
Geno Smith,
Rick was giving me the one finger.
Any actual analysis.
I wasn't sure if he had to sneeze or maybe a burp was about to come out. I wasn't sure.
He's like Jack Palance in the movie. What was that movie with Billy Crystal and all those about that? What was it? Oh,
City Slickers.
City Slickers.
Yeah. Good movie.
Thank you, M.O.
Good movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This guy right here. It was better than Remember the Titans, if I remember.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Although I think it was. Anyway, Preacher Man, what else you got here from the Bible?
Apparently there was
I'm dead to John right now.
There's a Johnny Manziel sighting in L.A. Apparently no job, no problem. Despite the fact that he hasn't played in the NFL or had a paycheck in a very long time, he rolled up to Barney's in Beverly Hills, which is obviously one of the most expensive stores in town, in the driver's seat of a custom Rolls Royce.
Nice. I mean,
he does come from oil money. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he was broke going into the NFL.
He never was hurting for cash, whatever little paycheck and bonus money he got from the Browns. I'm sure Johnny Manziel's doing okay. Must be nice. Right? Have you ever been in a Rolls Royce?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Yes. Nope.
You have?
Yeah. I used to valet park for a living. I've driven almost every car on the planet.
Is the seat like butter?
Oh, yeah. you're almost scared as an individual to take somebody's car. But, yeah, I've done that.
All right, I got to ask you guys a question. And, M.O., if you happen to be listening and you know the answer, I'd like you to chime in. Do we know if Baker Mayfield comes from rich parents? Do we know about his background?
I don't know.
Because I think a big part of the problem with Manziel, who was super talented and super competitive, is that he had a silver spoon in his mouth and up his butt to the point where he didn't need – he didn't have to be hungry.
Right.
He didn't have to be a success in the NFL. He could just be a party guy because he's going to be okay. He's got a mountain of money in the background from his family. But if Mayfield comes – because people are comparing Mayfield to Manziel, and I don't – I see why, you know, cocky guys and very demonstrative and animated and all that kind of stuff, and they're kind of swashbuckling white quarterbacks. I get that. But in terms of the makeup of the dude,
right.
I think Baker Mayfield is a way better human being than Johnny Manziel. And I think he's going to be way hungrier than Johnny Manziel because he doesn't come from oil money.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Remember, he's a guy that was a walk-on at Texas Tech. And then because they wouldn't give him a scholarship, he goes, all right, I'll bounce and I'll transfer to Oklahoma. And he's made himself into a great player and a guy that will win the Heisman. Heisman's Saturday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Do you watch it?
No. If there's a great debate, I might watch it to see the drama of the announcement, but we all know it's Baker Mayfield, so I will not be watching.
I watched 8 minutes. Get the announcement, get the speech, be done. I don't need the two-hour lead.
That's all you need.
I'll be watching the Pacers and Hornets. Preacher Man, back to you.
All right, well, apparently Conor McGregor gave a shout-out to his side chick, Rita Ora, where they're out on the town, and then he shouted out his fiance, who was with him also. So apparently he's flaunting the fact that he has two ladies. Now, you got to remember the fiance is the one
too.
That is with him when he was flat broke and just gave birth to his first child.
Yeah, well, I mean, to each his own. If I tried that, my wife would stab the living crap out of me. Think!
You just didn't get a $100 million paycheck either.
$100 million or not, I'd still get a piece of cold steel in the middle of my back.
You get shanked?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, is it shanked or shivved?
Either.
Yeah, both.
Both, actually.
I wouldn't even try something like that. Shout out both of them. Yeah, good luck with that.
Boy, you got...
Just got to cover his bases so he's...
You got a brass pair if you're doing that. And bleep you money, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got both. Because, I mean, he's also yelling at the Irish mob while he's at it. You
yeah,
know?
He might want to be careful with that.
No
apparently,
doubt.
There's a bounty on his head right now.
Does the mob play?
No.
No.
The mob
Have
doesn't
they
play.
Ever played?
Not even like the fake mob plays.
Yeah,
like
not even
guys who think they're mobsters play. Come on.
Actually, those are the guys I'm afraid of more. The fake mobsters who are trying to actually be mobsters, they're the ones that do reckless nonsense.
Right, because to be a mobster, you've got to do crazy, insane, violent things, right?
What the mob,
I don't want any part of that.
What the mobsters actually want to do is just scare the crap out of you by going, you don't want me to come to your house, and you start thinking, you go, yeah, I don't want those guys coming to my house. The only person I can think of that's got those kind of brow is Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt doesn't care. He had the girl waiting for him back home and was in Jamaica just sowing his wild oats.
That's true. All right, today's research material would be Kayla Fitz is today's research material.
Haven't we already?
It doesn't matter. It's my day, and I'll pick whoever I want.
I love it.
By the way, Mark.
Kayla Fitz.
We do need a birthday song for the 40-something-year-old Paul Bible today. He tried to sneak out of here without telling anybody it's his birthday.
Birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Now, we'll do it in Read Between the Lines.
To the preacher, man.
We'll get a good song going there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 1 o'clock hour. What are we going to get into next? Here's what we're going to get into. Anthony Smith is actually a producer of an NFL Network documentary timelining the 91 Falcons. It'll preview on the 7th. We're going to talk to Anthony next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we're live here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we come to you live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in mere hours. The game is going down. Falcons and Saints, you're going to hear it right here on the home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And 92.9thegame.com on a Falcons game day. John, in moments, we're going to bring in Anthony Smith. Mm-hmm. He's the producer of the NFL Network documentary, The Timeline, 91 Falcons. Of course, the MC Hammer, Jerry Glanville, Deion Sanders of it all. One of the most memorable seasons in Falcons history. And it's not, John, the Falcons commemorating it and making a big deal out of it. It's NFL Network.
Right.
I think this is really, really cool, man. And NFL Network does an amazing job with their A Football Life and A Timeline and all of their shows, man. I'm a big, big fan. And we have Anthony Smith right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Anthony, Rick Kamla and John Michaels, we're here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, man. How you living?
Living good, man. Living large right now. Really excited for this show to premiere. To do the official premiere tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern, but do a little sneak tonight after Thursday Night Football.
Anthony, when you look back at the 91 Falcons, I know if you're a national guy, and you guys obviously are with NFL Network, it was different back then. There wasn't the TV that you have today. Every game wasn't on. But you look at the characters that were on that team, and I'm going through some of the lists that was there. That had to be a fun documentary to go back and talk to some of these guys.
Well, it's great because, I mean, not only, you know, as you mentioned, like these are some of the greatest, you know, what ended up being the greatest players and greatest personalities in NFL history, but these are also guys that are great on camera. So, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, with my co-collaborators at NFL Films, the challenge is trying to fit all of that into an hour-long show because, I mean, you're talking Deion Sanders, who's great on camera, and Andre Rison and Jerry Glanville and Brett Favre And then you have, you know, guys like T.I. and Jermaine Dupri and Big Boy and Travis Tritt, you know, all these great characters who have fond memories of that season. And, you know, last but not least, of course, MC Hammer, you know, who was a part of the team in many ways. So it's trying to figure out a way to get all of that into one show.
Anthony Smith, producer of NFL Network's documentary, The Timeline, 91 Falcons, premiering with a sneak peek tonight, as he mentioned, after Saints and Falcons, and then tomorrow night, the full version will be aired. Now, Jerry Glanville called the 1991 Falcons, quote, the most fun team ever in pro football, end quote. Anthony, do you agree with him?
I mean, I can't think of anything. I can't think of a team that you would compare them to. I mean, maybe the 85 Bears, just because, you know, with kind of the characters they had on that team, but they did not have celebrities hanging out on the sidelines, you know, which was, I mean, you know, kind of putting this together, you know, you're trying to think of what the equivalent would be. I mean, it's almost like Lil Wayne hanging out with the 01 Patriots. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, you couldn't imagine that with any other team, but Glanville in many ways was the Pied Piper, you know, and he was welcoming all of that. And, you know, I think there's a great bite that didn't even make the show, and he was talking about Evander Holyfield showed up to jump on the airplane with the guys as they're flying off to a West Coast trip, and one of the coaches comes up to him and he's like, Evander Holyfield wants to get on the flight. Somebody invited him. He was like, well, I'm not going to tell the heavyweight champ not to get on the flight. Tell him the more the merrier, get on the flight. And it was that kind of atmosphere and that kind of circus that I agree with him. I think, I mean, you can't compare any other team in history in terms of a fun factor to this particular team.
Anthony, with the documentary, how much do you dive into it with MC Hammer? Because this was the Too Legit to Quit Falcons. Obviously, Hammer was at the height of his existence in his rap career. He was one of the most popular entertainers on the planet. How did that all come about? What's his role in this documentary?
Well, I mean, he plays a big role. I mean, every guy to a man, you know, talks about the fact that he wasn't just a guy that was there. In many ways, he was a part of the team. He's doing prayers. He's giving pep talks to the team. He's giving, you know, pregame speeches to the team. You know, he was on the sidelines at the beginning pregame for the Saints playoff game, and the telecast is doing a pregame sideline interview with MC Hammer, you know, like he's about to break down what's going to happen in the game. I mean, he was literally a part of the team. So having him a part of the documentary, I think, was huge. And him and Dion, I mean, it all came about because him and Dion at the time were, I mean, they were in many ways like brothers. And they were traveling around the country together and, you know, making music, must be the money, you know. And you know, MC Hammer was brought into the team by Dion, and the players embraced him. Glanville embraced him. All the guys embraced him. And he was part of the team for that season.
Crazy, man. I mean, can you imagine a night back in the day rolling in a limo, a stretch limo, with Dion, MC Hammer, a lot of the other stars you've mentioned, obviously teammates back in, like, the old Buckhead, right, before it got weird,
yeah,
and got, it kind of shut down. Anthony, could you imagine rolling with those cats back in their heyday?
Well, it's crazy because, I mean, one of the funniest stories in the doc is Brett Favre talking about his relationship with Deion Sanders. And he says Deion used to take him shopping. He said Deion would take me shopping, and Deion was like, yeah, you know, I take Brett down to the inner city. I was like, we gotta change up your wardrobe. You can't be coming in looking like this every day with blue jeans and T-shirts. So he said that Deion bought him a bunch of clothes that he didn't even end up wearing. But it was like a traveling, you know, it was like a traveling circus. But he was like, you know, Deion really embraced him, where, you know, him and Glanville have their history, which we get into in the doc as well. But yeah, it was crazy, man. It was crazy times.
It was well chronicled what happened with Brett Favre in those times, maybe partying a little too much of the sauce when he was here in Atlanta, and that's why he was traded away to Green Bay, wasn't really serious about football. Does Brett open up about any of that during the documentary?
Well, you know, it's crazy, and just working with co-producer on this, Greg Bacchetti, and Rob Gehring, who was our creative director, kind of developed the look. Those guys are film guys. I'm a guy that produces out of the NFL Network. But talking with them as we started to put the show together, they were like, Brett has never talked at this length and this, you know, at this depth about his year in Atlanta. And, you know, they've done a million, you know, things on Brett Favre at NFL Films. And they're like, he has never talked to this length about this. So Brett goes deep on his time, on his year in Atlanta, his relationship with the other guys, Chris Miller, Billy Joe Tolliver, Ken Harrock, and, you know, obviously Jerry Glanville. So I think viewers will be pleasantly surprised to hear Brett's perspective on that particular year, because it's definitely – Brett in some ways is an outlier to what was going on. He's kind of – you know, he in many ways he represents all of us, because he was watching, you know, as all of us were watching. He was a part of the team, but in many ways, you know, he was looking for a shot, but he's watching all of this going on as a rookie. You know, coming from Southern Miss, I mean, this had to be a complete, you know, culture shock to him.
Yeah, so Deion Sanders is like, yo, take off the John Deere hat for crying out loud. Come on, let's go out and run this city. Let's run this. We can't run this town with you wearing a John Deere hat for crying out loud. We've got Anthony Smith, producer of NFL Network documentary, The Timeline, 91 Falcons, a sneak peek after the Falcons-Saints game tonight, and it will air in its entirety tomorrow on NFL Network. And you probably heard me coming in, Anthony. I just want to dap you guys up. NFL Network is tight. It is solid. The analysts are great. The hosts are great. The docs are great. You guys just do a tremendous job. And that's a pretty big compliment. I work across the street at NBA TV, but I got love for
you guys, man. I've been a big fan of yours for years. So I love what you do as well. Big fan of NBA TV and everything you guys do there. And just one quick correction. So tonight, you're still going to see the full thing tonight, but it's just going to air after the game, so it's so late. So our official premiere is tomorrow. But the full thing does air tonight if people are willing to stay up, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and watch it. It will air in its entirety tonight, too, as well.
Anthony, thank you for the clarification, and thank you even more for the compliment. I really, really appreciate it, man. Anthony, talk to me about Jerry Glanville, and maybe like a pull quote from him as you guys made this great documentary. Talk to me about Glanville a little bit.
So this is the thing with this team. So not only were they characters off the field, and not only were they characters on the field, but that year they had some crazy, amazing games. They were going down the wire. There's the Hail Mary game. I mean, they're winning games in overtime. You know, it's legitimately too legit to quit. They're behind in, you know, in half their games. They come back and find ways to win. But one of the things that Jerry Glanville says that I thought was pretty funny, he had the red gun offense. And he was like, our red gun offense, man, he was like, we're throwing the ball down the field. Like, our shortest pass play was 20 yards, because I'd rather put a stick in my eye than run the Bill Walsh red, you know, the West Coast offense. He's like, I'm not doing any extended handoff, you know, short passes. We're going down the field. And we're blitzing and blitzing and blitzing some more. They play an aggressive style of offense and defense that in many ways reflected Jerry Glanville and his attitude.
Really awesome. We've got Anthony Smith, producer of the NFL Network's documentary, The Timeline, 91 Falcons. He's joining us via the WadeFord.com hotline. You talk about the too legit to quit, and you look back on the record of this team. They were a 5-5 football team that gets blown out by the Redskins 56-17 and then finds their way into the playoffs. What was that opening playoff game in Louisiana against the hated Aints like? What's the recollection that a lot of guys get to during this?
Well, the thing is, like, that was their – I mean, they're like – I mean, multiple guys have said before the Panthers came along, the biggest rivalry was New Orleans. And, you know, Glanville, you know, says in many ways it was like a college rivalry because the cities were so close that, you know, New Orleans would travel to Atlanta and Atlanta would travel to New Orleans. So to beat them in the Superdome for that first playoff win, you know, in over a decade, I mean, it was huge. And, I mean – you know, the way that they did it, you know, Michael Haynes, who's a New Orleans native, actually making the game-winning touchdown, it was, you know, it was big. It was a really big deal.
Anthony Smith, producer of NFL Network documentary, The Timeline, 91 Falcons, premiering after the game tonight on NFL Network. So Deion Sanders, two-time Super Bowl champ, 8-time Pro Bowler. I could go on and on with the resume. It's ridiculous. Arguably the top cornerback in NFL history. And this year with the Falcons, you know, he started his career there 89-93. And, of course, we're talking about the 91 season. Where does Deion put that 90, that special 91 season with all the other great stuff that he has done?
I mean, he, in the documentary, he talks about the fact that he never wanted to leave Atlanta. Atlanta was a place that he wanted to end his career because Atlanta embraced him the way that they did. And he's like, you know, I don't know if other cities would have embraced you know, the primetime Neon Deion persona the way that Atlanta did, just because of kind of what Atlanta was at the time. You know, it's a city that's coming into its own. It's a city that's emerging. It's the capital of, you know, what many people have called the New South. You know, the Olympics, the city had just got the Olympics the year before. The Braves are doing their thing. Hip-hop, which is a big part of the documentary, with guys like T.I., Jermaine Dupri, Big Boy, MC Hammer, in the doc, talking about the fact that at the time, you know, they were inspired by Deion and Ryzen and guys like that, because they were all coming of age in 91, 92. And Deion loved that, and he loved the city of Atlanta. So that city and that season in particular, you know, always holds a special place in his heart because of what they were able to accomplish, you know, with that team that particular year.
You mentioned the hip-hop side of things, and I'm intrigued with that because Big Boy and Andre 3000 with Outkast were really hitting their stride then. Jermaine Dupri was so deaf. T.I. still young in the rap game. But what was their influence on this team, or what was the team's influence on them?
So it's funny. So Jermaine Dupri said, you know, he has a bite that we actually use in the show, and he says that, you know, when he was young, he used to see T-shirts that would have, you know, New York, London, Paris, Chicago, L.A. on the shirts. And he was like, well, what does Atlanta have to do to get on that shirt? You know, what do we have to do to be an international, worldwide, world-respected city? And he was like, at that time, you know, they were all trying to get respect. And when Deion came along, in many ways, Deion put Atlanta on the map nationally and also in many ways, you know, internationally. Like, he was somebody that kind of reflected who they were and where they were coming from, and they loved that. And that was something that inspired them. They put in their music. I mean, Jermaine Dupri has another bite where he says in the Welcome to Atlanta video, he has the gloves on that Deion used to wear. And he's like, he doesn't know if that's hip-hop, but it just felt like hip-hop. Everything about Deion felt like hip-hop. The gold chain, the bandanas, the do-rag, you know. He said Deion just felt like him dancing, you know, coming out dancing, you know, pregame and talking trash, so that just felt like hip-hop, and they were inspired by that.
So cool how it's intertwined and entangled and beautifully so. Anthony Smith, producer of NFL Network documentary, The Timeline, 91 Falcons, premiering tonight after the ballgame. So let's get your prediction. You have all these great analysts, Anthony, at NFL Network, from Marshall Faulk to Kurt Warner to Michael Irvin and Mooch and all those guys, and we love them all. I want you to be an analyst right now, Anthony. Tell us, who wins and why tonight?
You know what? I mean, the Saints are playing pretty well, but Atlanta, you know, it's at home. You know, you have a bunch of guys. You know, it's Thursday night football, and we're gonna have a bunch of celebrities in the crowd. I think Atlanta might pull it out tonight.
I like it. I like it a lot,
Anthony. Great stuff. We'll
Thanks,
be looking
Anthony.
Forward to watching the documentary tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Anthony Smith, producer of the NFL Network's documentary. We'll preview tonight after the game, 91 Falcons. Yes, too legit to quit. That was exactly what they are. Falcon fans, if you're going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the game, join Mark Owens and Bud Light this today, 6 to 8. Bud Light tailgate on the porch. Join us before the game, right inside Gate 3 by the Giant Falcon. The Falcons too legit to quit. Bud Light, famous among friends. Eric Davis is distracting me, doing the MC Hammer dance right in front of us. We'll take a break.
Pretty
we'll
well,
from
too,
Anthony
I might add.
Smith talking about the 91 Falcons to Larry Holder from NOLA.com to preview Falcons and Saints. It's all coming up tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
I think he's done a great job of game planning week in and week out. I think we've seen that now. He's put us in good positions to make plays. And that's, you know, really all you can ask for from a coordinator and a coach is that they're consistent, they're clear about what they want, and they give you good plans and put you in good positions to be successful.
Matty Ison, a man named Sark. Steve Sarkisian. Look, the Steve Sarkisian complaints have died down, and rightly so. This ain't on him, bro. This is on drop balls. This is on bad passes. This is on mental errors, pre-snap penalties, defensive holdings. It's on that. Okay, it's not on Sark, man. And it's Rick and John. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is a Falcons game day. So friggin' pumped for the game tonight. You're going to hear it on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, John, in a moment, we're going to welcome in Larry Holder, respected writer and journalist for NOLA.com, to get a little Saints perspective. We'll ask him Falcons questions as well. But, John, who's the most important Falcon tonight?
The giant Falcon outside by gate 3? Because I want him to just start pecking off Saints fans as they walk in. You know how a bird, like, attacks and gets a worm out of the ground? Like, every time a Saint fan walks by, just beak to the head.
So what noise does the Falcon make when it snatches a Saint fan?
It just goes...
Okay.
It's like a big bite out of an apple.
Wow. Kind of like M.O. on a Snicker bar. That's, I think, the same exact sound.
We needed to give him that Snicker bar during Radio Row because he had turned into the angry M.O.
I took my shot right there because we have a guest, and, of course, M.O. can't come in and defend himself. Mark Owens in the Kia Studios, we love you, man. But we got Larry Holder from NOLA.com on the WaitForIt.com hotline. M.O. just said you're dead to me. Hey, Larry, Rick and John here in Atlanta just clowning around at the Benz, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great, man. We're dealing with this delay, but pressing on anyway, man. So, Larry, give us the latest on Mark Ingram. Like, is he out of the woods? I know there was a report earlier this morning that he's expected to play. Kind of give us, you know, the last 4 days for Ingram. Did he practice at all, and will he go tonight?
No, he didn't, but it's not like they had major practice time in and of itself anyway. He looked pretty healthy in the game on Sunday, so I think this is maybe just a little bit of precaution to kind of scale him back. I would anticipate him playing. I've kind of thought that throughout the entire week. It's not like he doesn't know the offense, so and doesn't know his role. So I would anticipate Mark Ingram playing, and basically the Saints – really riding with the two guys have gotten them there with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara being kind of the centerpieces of this offense come Thursday night.
We've got Larry Holder, NOLA.com, our guest on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Larry, we've been talking about this game all week, obviously how important it is to the Falcons. From a New Orleans perspective, did you see preseason the Saints being this good?
No, and I especially didn't see them being this good when they started 0-2. And yet, you look at the two teams who they ended up losing to. They lost to Minnesota, and they lost to New England. And so I just thought after 0-2, it would be same old Saints. All right, they're going to be 7-9, 8-8, and we'd be at this point in the season talking about the future of Sean Payton and the future of Drew Brees. And we're talking about their futures now as in, like, how far can they get in the playoffs and how much better can they even be after this season. So it's I certainly did not see this coming, and it's been it's been amazing given the players that they've gotten in the draft the last couple of years and kind of the hits they've made in free agency, and just it's been kind of a culture change within the Saints basically as their identity is concerned.
Oh, there's no question about it. Larry Holder from NOLA.com. He's on the WaitForIt.com hotline talking with Rick and John here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, it's always been Drew Brees throwing 40 to 50 balls and huge numbers and, you know, either a comeback win for the Saints or they just fall short and take an L, you know, with terrible defense and, you know, an offense that's not balanced and weighted totally towards the pass. Now the offense is balanced. The defense is kicking butt. I mean, who are these Saints? I didn't see this coming, Larry.
Well, I certainly didn't see this coming for the defense. And then just the structure of the way this offense came, I mean, we didn't see it coming. We were talking about, remember going into the season, how you thought it would be Adrian Peterson would be part of this mix. I mean, I was never a fan of that signing from day one, especially when
me
it
either.
Happened as far as say 3 or 4 days before the draft, and it was a running back rich draft. Sean Payton said it, so it didn't make any sense to me. I think they realized that early and unloaded Adrian Peterson. But now you look at it as far as defensively, and, it's defense for a few games this year. They've been the reason why they've won games, and they've kind of bailed out the offense a few times. And you'd never see that in New Orleans. And I think Cam Jordan's having one of his best seasons of his career. And, the big question heading into this game is how is Marshawn Lattimore? And I've been anticipating that he would play after missing a couple games with an ankle injury. I think the Saints saw it as, all right, let's get him ready for Julio Jones, and there's a reason why we drafted him, and he's been as advertised when he's been healthy.
Larry Holder with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Larry, I've made the comparison that Alvin Kamara is what Darren Sproles once was in this offense. Obviously different body type, different stature, but a guy that can create so many mismatches. Is that a fair assessment of Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, I think so, but I just think with Kamara, I think he's even more effective. Like, I look at Alvin Kamara as how the Saints anticipated right away what Reggie Bush would have been to the Saints offense in 2006. And Reggie Bush never really lived up to the hype, and Alvin Kamara has surpassed the hype. And it's when the Falcons go up against this team, against the Saints, I just feel like it's a totally different scenario as far as they've got Mark Ingram, who is fourth in the NFL in rushing as far as running backs. He's averaging 5+ yards a carry. And then you combine him with Alvin Kamara, who's averaging 7 yards a carry and can catch the ball out of the backfield. The fact that you can mix and match those guys, I think, A, that helps Kamara and has really kind of put some unpredictability for teams having to face the Saints offense. But yeah, Alvin Kamara has been as explosive of a player as we've seen with the Saints in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era, outside of, say, Drew Brees.
Now, he's spectacular, man. We loved his work with the Vols of Tennessee as well. Larry, let's talk Falcons for a minute, man. Larry, you know, you, me, John, most of people that watch football did not see the Saints being this good, this balanced, the identity switch that you talked about. Well, most of us didn't see the Atlanta Falcons below the playoff line at this point, 7-5 with L's to Buffalo and Miami at home, no less. What has been the most surprising aspect of the Falcons through your eyes?
Yeah, I think I could probably point at aspects on both sides of the football. I obviously assumed they would score more points. There was such an explosive offense last year. They seemingly have all the same pieces, and it hasn't been the same. Now, I know the change of offensive coordinators has been well documented. How much has that been an issue? I mean, you guys know better than me, but obviously it's done something. I mean, they're scoring far fewer points than they had last year. And I think on defense, just as far as the Falcons, they're not as opportunistic as they were last year. I mean, the Falcons have 3 interceptions in the entire season. That's, 31st in the NFL. You would assume that they would have far more takeaways than they have right now. And, you don't get as many of those takeaways. You don't have as many short fields, and you don't put as many points because you got longer fields. So I think you can kind of point to aspects on both sides of the field as to why the Falcons have gotten this way, and I'm surprised that it's been that way on both sides of the field.
Larry, how do you see tonight playing out, 8:30 kick right here from Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
I'm going to go with the Saints, and I picked them 28-20, and I just see it as, and I alluded to it already, I mean, this is not the same Saints offense that Dan Quinn and the Falcons have played against in the past. And the Saints use the run game. And look, I'll just put it to you this way. Last week, Ron Rivera said, I'm paraphrasing, we could prepare all we wanted for Alvin Kamara, but he's an elite talent, and they basically had no answers for him. So, and it's not like, the game tape isn't out there, but I still think teams are still kind of stunned at some of the things that the Saints are able to do. So it's something that I think the Saints are going to be able to take advantage of, and they'll pick up the win here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you understand, Kamara's ability to make you miss, that he can catch the ball and, run out. It's the toughness that it has been to tackle him and bring him to the ground that has been super eye-opening to me. Larry, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. I can't say good luck to your squad because, of course, we're in a death game tonight, but we certainly appreciate the time, Larry, and we'll talk to you down the line.
You got it. It's not my squad. Look, I win every week. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, guys, I'll see you. I'll be at the stadium here in a couple hours, but thanks for having me, guys.
We'll see you then. Larry Holder, NOLA.com, our guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Boy, I just happened to do a little glance. Kamara and Ingram have combined for 1,528 yards on the ground. Coleman and Freeman, a little over 1,100. Alvin Kamara has 614 yards receiving by himself. Ingram chips in 255. They've caught 90, actually, yeah, 101 balls combined. Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman receiving about 390.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy how good the New Orleans running backs have been this year.
And they have four games to go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.